around, folks, and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Marshall Double H, and for the first time in what feels like a long time, we are back at Headstone Hill for our Deadlands, the Weird West campaign. I shouldn't have done that loud. It was weird. It was in my head. It was going to be good, and then it wasn't.
That's pretty weird.
Let me introduce you to your cast. He is, well, we call him around here the heart and soul of PZ85. Playing Killian Legion is Mr. Shannon Young.
For the record, I am an AI-generated personality on the show.
He is Shanna Mae Young now. Playing Dr. Emmett Durandal is one Stephen Bright.
I just took a shot of whiskey. That was not a good time for that.
I can't tell if that was in character or not.
It is not.
Why not both?
It could be two things.
Exactly.
Playing Fern Hawthorne is Lindsay Wolfgang.
I discovered a book of Ninja Turtle stickers I forgot I had.
Can I tell you what else she discovered today?
Again, not sure if that's in character or not.
Can I tell you what else she discovered just really quick?
After I introduced the Kaz Man, who of course is playing one Thatcher Kane.
I do this shit for the love of the game.
And then you yes-sirred him.
Because he doesn't for the love of the game. Do.
Thanks for messing up my intro there, Shannon.
Added to it. So, Lindsay called me today to her room because she had a wasp in there. And it looked, well, no, she wasn't too dumb about it. She called for help. She called for backup. That's the point.
He's giving me a deal here.
You can tell we haven't done a real show in a while.
Oh, I was going to mute him, but I can't do that. I can't do that. I love too much. I would have done it to Tanner.
So there was a wasp.
She called me in there, and I couldn't tell whether it was a paper wasp or a yellow jacket because they look so fucking similar. It was black with yellow stripes. That's all I know. So me being the pacifist that I am, I grabbed a cup. I trapped him. I went outside and released him. About 20 minutes later, Lindsay said, there's another one in here. I'm like, God damn it. So I go in. I get this one. Same thing. Released it. A couple of minutes, I'm in fallout. I'm in radiation rumble at this point. And she's like, there's another one. And I was like, I cannot help you right now.
on your own on that one.
Yeah.
Handled it.
She took care of it. Well, the finish of the story, and then, Steven, I'll get to you. The finish of it is we're trying to figure out where the fucking wasps were getting at. She thinks it's the same wasp three times, and I'm like, maybe.
So we're kicking about the door like Moe kicking Barney out of the bar. He just keeps coming back.
So I'm looking all around the windowsills and stuff because there's issues, and I can't see any open spots, and I'm like, man. So at this point, she's moved her desk, and she's trying to tape up around her windowsills, and I see a white panel on the wall down low, and I was like, oh, is that a Ethernet port? And she's like, no, I think it's a TV port, but I'll check it out. And I was like, all right, cool. And then she looks down there, and she goes, it's a fucking hole to the outside. It's just a hole leading outside.
What? It's clearly where they had a television cable port, and rather than
but the rest is gone.
It was just a fucking hole in the wall.
Yeah, everything.
So the wasps were just like going. He would just
duct tape shut, and I will be plastering over it when
we kick him out.
Going around the house,
back to the hole.
like, all right,
really wants like Barney.
It's those fish in King of the Hill when they're fishing with crack cocaine. It just keeps coming back.
He came back in the third time. He just looked at her and said, I ain't hear no bell.
I can dance all day.
So, Shannon, my thought is, yes, I'm also very pacifist when it comes to, you know, spiders, moths, bees, all that. Wasp, I will kill on sight.
Wasps are
fuck
from hell.
Wasp.
Well, okay.
Kill them.
But it depends on the wasp. A red wasp, yes. A yellow jacket, yes. But a paper wasp, they're non-aggressive. So
they're nature's abominations.
And this guy, he didn't give me any issues. I escorted him out. And maybe the reason he didn't give me issues is because he knew he could just come right back to the bar. I don't know. I don't know.
It's like, the back door is open. I'm coming back around. This guy leaves.
All right, that's all I got. Yeah, get home with the show.
Okay, so the last time we played, it's been a couple of weeks, so a quick refresher for the audience's sake. Again, you can always go back and listen to our previous episodes at podzilla1985.com. Our agents of the Twilight Legion and various other organizations have found their way to Easton Hill, are doing their best to find the missing agent George J.A. Reege. They have most recently rented his house, and they found their way to that house in the last episode. There were some strange goings-on. And when we left off, if I recall correctly, the party was technically split. Two of you were upstairs, two of you were downstairs. Thatcher, you had investigated two or three of the rooms upstairs, but not all of them. The last one was what looked like a guest room, and you had found a 45 caliber cartridge in the nightstand alongside an old worn Bible. Heard what sounded like a gunshot right beside you. Come to find out, your people heard that as well, and Killian raced upstairs to see what was going on. That then left Dr. Durandal and Fern downstairs. Doctor, is as I recall, you're still holding that jar with that strange creature inside, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Doctor.
Okay. Yes, Thatcher has a question. He's got his hand up.
Hand up over here in the back. Just to be clear, did they actually hear it, or did they not? Was it just me, and they heard my stumbling about and falling?
I don't know that we defined that.
I don't know, but I know I raced up there.
Right.
Yeah, I think we left off and left that nebula, so we were going to leave that open-ended here. I don't recall describing the gunshot to them, so I think that's actually probably a good place to pick up. Killian, you heard a noise upstairs for certain. Whether or not it was a gunshot is not instantly clear. Let's have a roll right out of the gate. You're in roll 20. You're good to go on this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
get away from a porn.
Go ahead. Well, you're gonna want to get away from that. Make a notice roll for me, if you would, please.
That's something I can do.
You can.
The first roll, all right, well, that's exploded, so we'll just go and do that again. So that is 14 altogether, because I have a plus 2.
Nice.
I'll roll the 1d6 for fun, but I don't see, yeah, it's a 1. Yeah, let's go with the 14. More. No, let's go with the 14.
Not one thing that you heard sounded like an actual gunshot. Not him, anyway. You, for certain, Thatcher. You heard...
Oh, yeah, no, I thought somebody just shot me in the butt.
Exactly. You heard what sounded like an actual revolver go off right beside your head.
Oh, shot me in the head. My bad.
Killian, you just heard the stumbling of him about in the wake of that happening. Maybe the drawer slammed shut, something. It sounded like a loud noise, but you know enough about what a gunshot sounds like, about what any caliber, any weapon make or model sounds like to know this wasn't a gunshot. It was just a loud noise that got you.
Oh, I can tell you what I did. Like, when that shot went off, I was sitting on the bed, I believe. Yeah,
you were definitely near it. So we could say you were sitting on it for sure.
Yep, and then when that happened, I leaped forward and definitely stumbled into table or something, whatever was nearby. And I'm assuming
it's a nightstand.
Yep, nightstand.
Yeah, so you would have found that cartridge in the top drawer. Yeah, top drawer of a nightstand with an old Bible in it. So yeah, we'll say the whole thing just went to shit when you fell into it. Yeah,
when it did that, I am curious. Like now, like Killian's coming up as he's walking into the room. I'm looking around and I'm looking down at the nightstand as it has separated into pieces, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that came out of it? Any other piece of paper or hidden item, weird false drawers, anything like that?
Well, let's have you make a notice roll. Even though you are there right there with it, you are a little rattled right now.
All right. Notice roll. It is. Whoops. I forgot. What am I? D8.
There it is.
Ooh. All right, here we go.
I have that song in the playlist, the Sunny playlist I made, because it's in one of the episodes.
As it should
Forgive
be.
Forgive me if we've already defined it, but does this a notice roll that I can apply investigator to?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool. All right, incoming. 6. And... 4.
So okay. Neither exploding there. 6 is the best one.
6 is the best one, but I'm gonna go. I'm a lucky SOB. I'm gonna use a Benny.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And Yeah. And then so when I do roll the Benny, my Elan gives me +2 when spending one on a trait roll.
Yep.
Does that also with Investigator, so that's +4?
You get the higher of the two.
Two or two. Two is one, two is the other. Two is Investigator, two is the Elan.
Yeah, so you would just get a +2. They don't stack on top of each other.
Oh, they don't stack things. Oh, all right, that's okay.
Anytime you get a bonus to those traits, that's how that works.
Got it. So there's an 8. So that exploded, and I can Does that mean I re-roll the same dice again, or go with my 6?
Same die.
Yeah, same die.
All right. Sorry, so man. That's technically 10.
No, you're good.
16.
So 16 is the highest total you got there.
16 is the highest total I got there, and then the 6 is just a 3. So my explodo boom was 8 plus the 2 makes it 10. So it's actually 18, my bad.
18. Okay. So the nightstand, as you fall into it, explodes. Almost literally. This, Killian, is what you heard and what sends you racing up the stairs. We know from the end of the previous episode that you were already there, but we're kind of just fleshing out what happened in that moment, because I think we got to that point last time. Thatcher, as you kind of pull yourself out of the wreckage of it, again, there were two things you knew for sure were there. You had the cartridge in hand. You somehow still have it in hand. The cartridge itself is not particularly interesting. It's not spent. It's not used. It's no different than any other 45 caliber cartridge. You've seen a million of them, right? But there was that well-worn Bible that was there. And in as you're kind of just like sifting through the wreckage of that nightstand of where it's fallen apart, no hidden compartments, no secret drawers, but that Bible is kind of underneath all of it. When you move the tabletop basically out of the way, it's right underneath it. It was closed before. It's open now. And like anyone who sees an open book, especially when it wasn't open a moment ago, even though it may have just opened up in the wreckage, it catches your attention as you glance at it. And you take a close look at it. You see it's open to Matthew 25:41, which reads, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" It dawns on you that the gunshot was right beside your left ear. Left, like trigger something, and it was almost right beside your left ear. It's about that time, by the way, Killian, that you would get up to the top of the stairs and you would race into what we described as Chamber 2. This was the guest room that Thatcher had gone into. And you see him sprawled out on the floor in between the two guest beds. The nightstand is shattered.
I'm gonna have gun drawn, just because when Killian when you hear a noise,
which gun?
Because he thought it was a gunshot. Because you know he doesn't know. We established he doesn't know what's a gunshot. He's gonna pull out the sweet one, not the sour one.
Okay,
you know.
Okay,
because until it's a lethal situation, yeah, he's
sure.
So he comes in, busts in, pistol out, aims it everywhere around the room, looks, sees Thatcher on the ground just in this exploded, a desk or a table?
Nightstand. Like nightstand. A nightstand, yeah.
And he's just going to look down at him and just say, "What the hell are you doing?"
Sorry, we're sorry.
Do I
Yeah, I'm waiting for a response.
Yeah, this is open-ended. This is what has happened. Nothing else is immediately happening. You guys are
I'm trying to recall really quickly, cuz it transitioned really fast. From that Bible, there was no notes or anything. It was just open to a particular verse, and that's the only okay. And forgive me, because when I typed that out on the side, I caught the Matthew 25:41 thing. But when I went to type out like what you were saying, I kind of gave up halfway through. And so what it says is, "Then he said things to folks on his left, 'The devil is in the fire with angels.'"
So it reads, quote.
Oh, no, I got it now.
Oh, you got it? Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. I got it. I just thought it was funny, like, what I ended up typing.
Oh, yeah.
Just as a flag for myself. Anyway, I'm holding this thing up to him, and I'm like, does this mean anything to you?
Hunter, I would like to look at it.
Yeah, you can. I'm not going to make you roll for this. This is not something from your past or anything like that. You've not heard it recently. Now, you tell me how much you know about the Bible. I don't know how much your character knows about the Bible.
So, well, if you're asking me, his father was Irish, and I'm assuming Irish Catholics still exist, right? In this world?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So his father, and this is just for the listeners, this is not any of the cast that know, any of the characters know this. His father was one of those hardcore quotes the Bible and quotes, you know, religion, but also drinks himself stupid and is abusive, one of those types. So he is well versed in religion, even if he himself does not follow it.
So
it was literally beaten into him as a child.
Right. This is probably not a verse that you heard uncommonly. Like this is a regular refrain around your home to some degree, maybe not word for word, but the intention of it, because this is about as straightforward a heaven and hell discussion as there gets. It also very much portrays a God who punishes. Quite literally, this verse is him drawing a stark line in the sand between there are those of you who will remain at my side and there are those of you who will not, and I am casting the latter of you to my left down into hell.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff his dad definitely would have been a fan of.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing that's used as threats, especially for, like you said, children and particularly stark religious households. It's the image of the God, the vengeful God that some want to portray, the type that you should fear, that you should be afraid of. And it might send a little bit of a shiver down your spine. Maybe this is the first time you've heard it in a long time. I won't speak for you on that, but it is not an uncommon refrain for you.
That is something that he doesn't show much on his face, but when he sees it, it does bring back in his head a little flash of memory of that particular time of his life. And he just kind of grimaces at the passage and tells him, I'm familiar with it.
I'm going to put a pin in that real quick. Dr. Fern, what are you guys doing downstairs while this is all happening?
So if I remember right from last session, Shannon was the one, or sorry, Old Reluctant was the
one.
Who's
Shannon?
That felt the jar vibrate. Right, so
he felt some sort of movement. I don't know that vibration is technically correct, but he felt some sort of movement.
Okay, uh-huh. So I'm very intrigued as to what that could mean. So I'm just looking at the jar right now.
Okay,
like my focus is all on that. I don't care.
Yeah, as a quick reminder for both you and the audience, you have identified that the fluid in there, this kind of yellowy, cloudy fluid, is some kind of embalming fluid.
Yeah.
Maybe not standard embalming fluid, but it's a preservative of some kind. There is a small creature inside, maybe 18 inches tall at most. You had initially thought that it might be, actually you and Killian both had initially thought it might be some kind of a baby or a fetus, because it is humanoid, but the longer you got a look at it, the more you could tell that it has adult-like features. Like its hands are fully adultly formed. Its overall shape is not that of a newborn. It's more adult-like. You never can quite get a good look at it, though, because of the cloudiness of that fluid. No matter which way you rotate it, it just never goes where you want it to. Almost seemingly kind of defying the odds. Like, it seems like you should be able to rotate this thing in such a way that you can get a good look up against the glass, and it just won't do it.
It's not. Man, you're making me want to break that wax and try to pull it out there.
Fern, what about you?
That is a line I've used many times on my dates, is you make me want to break that wax.
Wow. Anyways, if he's fiddling with that jar, it's probably going to have caught my attention, at least momentarily.
Sure.
And I'm just going to kind of comment, you just find the weirdest things, don't you?
And I'll just reply, people say I'm weird. Then I just keep looking at the jar.
I like to imagine that you're looking at each other through the jar. Like, cinematically, I would absolutely film this as you're looking at her through, like, the top layer of the embalming fluid.
Yeah.
She's looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. And then,
if I am remembering correctly, we still haven't investigated the kitchen, which I believe is the only other room on the first floor.
That is correct. There is also one more room on the second floor.
I'm going to make my way into the kitchen and see what's in there.
Absolutely.
Well, the restraint I'm showing is incredible.
We will we'll transition right into that. We'll come back to you guys upstairs in just a second here. So, Fern, as you head into the kitchen, it's a pretty stock standard setup, like most of the rest of the place. It needs a cleaning because, again, as JD mentioned, he hasn't gotten around to cleaning out all of Len Buckles' things. It hasn't been taken care of since then, but it's a pretty typical setup. There is an exterior door and a set of back steps on the far wall at the end of the room. The back door itself, from where you are, looks sturdy. I mean, it looks like it's well inlaid, much like the front door would be. When you guys came in, it was much easier to get through the lock than it would have been to break it down. You could tell that as much. Around the kitchen, there are numerous empty whiskey bottles. They're on the counter, they're under the counter, there are a couple on the floor. It dawns on you that old Agent Reege might have sank low enough to kind of drown his troubles a little bit near the end, depending on what happened to him. There is also, in addition to just the basic range setup and a couple of cupboards and that sort of thing, there's a pantry. It's open. You can see the shelves have nothing on them except for cobwebs, some dust. There's a single sealed can of molasses, and there is an open sack of flour that, when I say open, it's been torn open. You can tell it's been feeding the mice for some time now. Not actively, but it has been for a while. The only thing beyond that worth noting is that there is in the kitchen floor, kind of back toward the back wall near that the actual exterior door, there is what looks like, I mean, you could best describe it as a trap door, but not a surprise, you know, like literal trap. There's like a hinged door in the floor. Looks like it leads probably to kind of a root cellar or something like that, maybe underneath. But it is closed currently.
All right. I'm not going to root around too much because it seems that there isn't much anything different in here than in the other room. So I'll make my way back to the other room where the doctor is and decide on whether or not we're trekking upstairs with them.
Before you do that, make a notice check for me real quick, please.
Uh-oh.
Do that. Hold on. I closed the wrong window.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh no. Make this one explode, no. Lindsay.
What?
Make this one explode.
That would be awesome, but because you said that, I probably won't.
Sorry, Fallout has ruined Fallout has ruined the word explode for me now.
So the first one sucks. Let's try again. So we're gonna go with
you
the
mean
next
intercourse.
One, which is gonna be 6 because it has a +2.
No.
Okay, so it's a 6 total?
Yes.
Before you go to leave the kitchen, there is like a window over the sink basin. I hesitate to call it a sink. It's really just a wash basin. But there is a small window in the wall that's like right over it. Kind of like you'd have a window typically over a kitchen sink in a modern home. It is getting a little later in the day at this point. It's approaching 4 or 5 o'clock. And again, it's spring, so the sun's not setting yet, but it's definitely much lower in the sky. As you pass by that window, if you walked to the far end of the room, you would pass it on your way back as well. When you went by the first time, nothing caught your attention. Going back by the second time, out of the corner of your right eye, for just a split second, it doesn't even register with you at first until you get a couple of steps past, you would swear that somebody was looking in through that window.
Goody. Yeah, I'm still going to make my way into the other room. So when someone is looking in, I don't give myself away that I think I saw them.
Okay. All right, as you head back to the dining room and the doctor, let's head back upstairs. Fellas, what are you guys doing?
I'm still waiting for an explanation of why he's on the ground in the middle of this end table, holding up a Bible verse.
That's a strange.
He hasn't really explained that to me, you know.
Well, so I'm asking him, did you hear that bang, that gunshot?
I heard something. It might have been a giant spider, Hunter. What would I do about that?
Yeah, you beat me to it. Damn it. I was going to say, he's trying to overcome the spider's curse. And all you have to do is simply quote a Bible verse.
Thou shalt not. Out of hell with it. I'll tell him I heard something. Maybe I heard you falling through a nightstand. What did you hear?
I heard a gunshot before falling through the nightstand.
I'm going to look around the room. Can I do a notice roll to look around the room just in case? He says there was a gunshot, so, you know.
I'm not going to make you roll. You know for a fact there wasn't a gunshot. Even if there had been, you rolled so high on that notice that even if there had been a gun that had gone off in your immediate vicinity at the exact same time that he fell through that nightstand, you would have been able to discern the difference. Yes.
Well, then
you know for a fact there was no gunshot.
I'm going to extend my hand that's not holding a pistol out to him and say, I can assure you I've heard plenty of gunshots in my life. That was no gunshot I heard.
Oh, I'm at this point, I know what I heard as well. Like, I'm assuming my ear is still ringing. Yes. Yeah, from this. And I just explained it to him kind of matter-of-factly, not necessarily trying to convince, because I'm not trying to convince you in anything. I'm just letting you know this is what I just heard.
Well, I would say, Hunter, considering all the other weird stuff that he's seeing, because he just saw that little thing in the glass, he doesn't entirely believe that there was a gunshot, but he does believe that Thatcher believes he heard a gunshot. So he's still going to help him up and just nod at him and say maybe we should reconvene with the others and see what wonderful things they've discovered around here.
I will point out to you, Thatcher, you know, especially since it's been so long, normally I just let you do this on your own, but it's been a couple of weeks. You know for a fact there is one other room on this second floor that you have not entered yet. Oh, you have entered the main bedroom. You've been in the main bedroom. You've been in the guest, which is like the corner bedroom, and you looked in the hall closet. But there is another chamber you have not entered upstairs.
So
as we're exiting this room, I'm walking with him, and I notice, I'm assuming that's the only one with a door still closed.
Assuming you left them open, then yes.
Yeah, I leave all of them open. That's the searching 101 is you always leave the last thing you checked open, so that way you can be rest assured that somebody else, if it's closed, somebody's fucking with you.
I'll make that note and keep it down so I can use it against you later.
We'll see. I am curious.
Can't wait.
So yeah, I kind of halt there and I noticed the door, and I'm like, we no stone left unturned, as a wise investigator once said. So I jiggle the door and open up.
While he's doing that, I would say, I was going to pretend he said that low and to himself. Killian's still walking, talking about the virtues of being safe and sticking to a group, and then he notices that Thatcher isn't next to him anymore. He looks back and just, God damn it.
Killian, while that's been happening, actually, quick pin on you, Thatcher. Killian, you would, so the direction you were walking, if you were heading toward the stairs, would then lead you toward the master bedroom. You've kind of inadvertently walked sort of into it in that process.
Now, has this been looked at yet, or is this another one that hasn't been checked?
It has. The only room that hasn't been observed upstairs so far is the one that Thatcher is going into right now. You would have been going the opposite direction for the bit, for realizing that he wasn't there. But as you kind of step into the master bedroom and realize that that Thatcher isn't there beside you, when you turn to leave to catch up with him, your boot, like the heel of your boot, catches on something strange. You look down, and there's a floorboard near the front of the room, near the entrance to the room, that is seemingly tilting with your boot. Like, it feels like it's loose or out of place. Something's off about it.
I will once again go, I'll look down at it, I'll look back at Thatcher, I'll look towards the stairs, knowing that's where my associates are, and then just kind of grits his teeth and just says, God damn it, again, He's gonna reach down and pull that that floorboard up if he can. He's gonna investigate it.
Okay. The floorboard comes up easily enough. It's got a bit of open space around it as compared to the others. You wouldn't really notice unless you're looking close, but you can get your nails in there and just kind of pry it away. When you do, the first thing you see as you lift it up underneath, because again, you're on the second floor, so it's not like it leads straight down to dirt. But the first thing you see before you can kind of see the ceiling slats of the next floor below you is undeniably a child's shoe. It is a like shriveled, worn out piece of canvas. It looks dirty. It looks like it's covered in mud, and there is only one of them. I need you to make a common knowledge roll for me really quick.
Okay. While he's doing that, I'm having strange flashbacks to some skulls.
Like in the game, or?
Yes, but a different game.
Damn it.
Skull. Didn't do it right.
Shut up, Steven. You're drunk.
Oh, no, I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing.
Explode.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I get it.
Oh, shit. I just got it, too. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that this time.
Can I be in on the joke?
So when we did Curse of Strahd, Kaz and I were particularly hated by Cody because we just did outlandish shit. One time, Kaz and I put on a puppet show with the child skeleton.
Oh, no.
That's a real thing that happened.
No.
Yeah.
You know how you stab your forks into the dinner rolls at the table yes. and like make them dance? Like
yes.
It was that.
I do the child's bones.
I think that's when Cody should have given up on trying to treat it seriously. But anyway.
I think Cody died that very night.
That was also the night that Bjork became a goldenaire. And I just started buying all the businesses.
He started throwing things at people. So I got
throwing the money.
I got a 10. I'm going to roll the other dice just in case. I can't see it going any better. Well, hold on.
It exploded.
It exploded again.
Dang. This is the night.
10 on both.
Ten on both. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna mix this as I had to roll common knowledge, but I'm gonna mix it as both knowledge that people would generally have, like common knowledge, but it's also something that you know from your time with not with your people, right? Because you're half Native American, so it's right. definitely not from your mother was Native, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not from your mother's side at all. This is not a Native custom. It is a decidedly white custom. In fact, it is actually a bit of an Irish custom. What might have scared someone else, this is not something that instantly strikes you as, oh God, there's a child there. Although your agent instincts, your ranger instincts might kick in on that. A second later, you recall this is an old custom that people thought would bring a house good luck. Is to take a child's like old worn shoe, something that had been used to the point that they couldn't wear it anymore, and to place it somewhere in the house. However, you don't normally just do that somewhere and leave it there forever. It's also often a marker. And sure enough, feeling around where you've picked up the shoe, you can tell that before you get down to the wooden slats that lead to what's effectively the ceiling of the first floor, there's an old piece of canvas there as well, almost like draped over something like a bit of a tarp.
Oh, Lord. I am going to slowly pull that tarp off in dramatic fashion.
Okay. It's difficult to see down there. Do you have a lantern or any kind of light source?
Maybe. Although maybe this would be a fun time to bring someone else into it, too. I'm going to yell downstairs and just yell out, bring a lantern.
Okay, then we're going to put a pin in that and we're going to go back over to Thatcher. Thatcher, the door to the final unexplored room upstairs, you jiggle the novel.
Well, I'm on it.
Please do. Yeah. I don't know where novel came from. You jiggle. I was trying to say jiggle the knob a little, and jiggle and little decided that knob needed a little there as well. you jiggle the novel and the door opens with no real resistance. This room is so decidedly different from the others. I'm not going to say it takes your breath away, but it does definitely, because that's not for me to decide. But it does kind of take you aback for certain, or it would have to, I would think. It is full of taxidermy. There mounted animal heads. There are stuffed birds, everything from deer to elk. There's some wild hogs.
It's like Grandpa's place from The Lost Boys.
It's where you get the meats and Fallout.
Pretty much. Exactly. Oh, the meats are all gone. There's no
meat are
here anymore.
Been yoinked.
It's just the skins.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a badger that is hanging like fully, you know, intact. All fanged, all glassy-eyed. There's multi-hued songbirds that are displayed like they're in flight along one part of the wall. At the center of the room, because there is like a I don't want to call it a love seat, but like a chase lounge kind of thing, and a big like overstuffed chair. At the center of the room, there's like a big wooden coffee table, and there is a stuffed bald eagle that is like perched right in the middle of it. This room, the moment you open the door, it smells dank. It is musty.
It feels like no one's been in.
Yeah. It's almost the opposite. It's a dry animal. There's an animalistic scent to it, but it's like the dust of animals, basically.
Well, I'm on it.
it feels like no one has been in here for a very, very long time. And it's also strangely quiet in this room. It feels like the moment you step over the threshold, like the sound around you just kind of even if you don't close the door behind you, it's kind of cramped. Like, it's not a particularly big room. I'm in my office, you've been in my house. It's about the size of our office here, you can imagine, so not particularly big.
Also
nothing immediately catches your eye, but that's what to see.
Also reminds me of the extension space, also known as the bed and breakfast room from the Pig's Palace. Obviously there's a shit ton of different animals and so forth, and I am very curious now as to what this room is about. Every other room has been fairly Spartan in, sense as far as furniture and items within it, but this one seems to take the cake. Like you said, this is opposite, but I don't really know where to start with any of the surroundings, so I just aim directly for the center of the room for the most obvious thing, and I want to take a look at this eagle and just see if there's anything unique about it besides it's dead and stuffed and chilling there with its raptor-esque situation.
Make a notice roll.
All right.
Well, I guess I did pour my water into my Vault-Tec mug. Why are you ask?
Why are you ask?
Okay.
Why are you ask?
Why are you ask?
Nine.
You are ask.
Not bad.
You are
ask. Nine. Wait, you're six. Okay. Is it investigation's cool?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Nine. Oh, and then...
Okay. Try the other one.
Explode them. Yes, exploding.
Exploded.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is the night for explosions.
Oh my god!
I forget if I explode, do I reroll my eight or the six again?
No, the six.
Yeah.
You reload whatever die you roll.
Reroll it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. There you go.
12.
Yep.
So the highest possible version of this is 12.
Is it? Wait, nine.
Because you add +2 to your 10 here.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, you still get that.
The dice never add to each other, but whichever one got the highest roll, then you add your bonus onto it.
Right, I was just making sure, like, the explosion negated my initial row, so...
Nope. Gotcha. No? Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, because you pick one of the two dice.
Right.
Whichever one got the highest possible version. Yeah. Yeah, so you had a 9 for the 8, you had a 10 for the 6, you add the 2 to the 10, and that's a 12.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so, first things first, this thing is heavy. Way heavier than you would have expected. It's on a base. It's on like a wooden base that's fashioned. It's like out of part of a tree stump. It's like they cut like a circular section out of a tree. And so he's kind of like perched on it, like he's getting ready to take off, like he's almost in flight. You would not have thought that even a big bird like this would be as heavy as it is. And even that base doesn't feel like it should be that heavy. But definitely something about it is adding some weight to it. So basically, if you're observing it, you're just kind of moving it around. Like, you just kind of want to check it out from all angles, see what there is to see. Those glassy eyes. Yeah, so it's immovable. The position it's in is stationary. If you try to move the animal itself too much, it will break, and you know this. So unless you want to break it,
then that's not going to happen. It's a very careful, intentional type of investigation. So I know like what the difference between a break and a potential pivot point would be.
Right. When you when you realize that there's not much else to observe about the bird itself, you go to turn it over thinking, you know, I'm going to examine the base. You do it very carefully. And in doing so, once you get the whole thing upside down, you hear a little rattle of some kind. Sounds like it's coming from within that base somewhere. That being said, it does not look like there is an obvious entry point into the base, like how to get into it. There's not like a swivel door or like a little panel or a shelf or something. It seems like a solid piece of wood, and yet you can hear something rattling around in there.
Oh, I am probably quite motivated at this point. My curiosity happens to be one of my failings. So sentiment for objects like this is probably not something I'm concerned with. So I am ready to take this thing. Like I signaled to old Reluctant over here.
Can't see him. He's in a different room and you guys do not have line of sight to each other.
And there's no obvious path as far as like opening this thing up. At all.
Nope. No, you are damn certain that there is something in that base.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's wooden?
What it is and how... Yeah, it's wooden. It's like, again, it'd be like...
is there any saws around?
I'll show you what it's like.
You might know what it's like.
So, because we got this little taxidermy chipmunk. Yeah, this little wooden base, it's like that.
Aww.
It's like that, but very big. Yeah, this guy stands
very big. So
he stands vigil by Parker's ashes.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm taking something like a hammer or whatnot. Not a hammer. I don't have a hammer, but something hard.
You can make a hammer, right?
I could if I wanted.
You've been MacGyver.
I'm looking for hollow spots or maybe a point that it's like goes from tack tack donk. You know,
I'll hand wave a couple of things here for the sake of brevity. You can, I'll let you just kind of knock on it, you know, with your hand, just trying to figure out like a space. You can tell once you're, you know, kind of tapping on it with your knuckle that somewhere toward the center, there does seem to be like a little bit of a hollow spot. And sure enough, if you like give it a little shake, a little rattle, again, it sounds like there's something rattling around inside there. Probably somewhere near the center would be the way to get through to it, but how to do so is not immediately clear. Rapping on it with your knuckle, you can tell it's more solid than that. You're not going to be able to just punch right through it. The other thing is this room is like a trophy room. So there's really nothing in the way of tools or anything like that in this room, unless you're going to use one taxidermy to bash another, and you get the idea that that's probably not going to work.
So I have
unless
a boot.
Break a tusk off of a wild hog or something.
I have a Bowie knife on my hip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm ready to give it a little carve up. Okay. I'm now looking for how to get into this thing.
Okay. All right. let's have you make. Oh gosh, what would this be?
Repair.
I'll go with repair. I'm fine with repair. It's a destructive repair, but yeah. That works for me. It's the opposite.
Deconstruction.
Yeah, it's a deconstruction.
Yeah, let's do that. So, booyah. 8. Explode boom.
Okay. Keep it going.
Let me keep it going here. Let me see. 4.
That's a 12.
That's a 12, yep.
And I'll try your 6, too.
Nah, just a 3. That's so three. I'm at a 12. Right. I'll take 12. That.
All right. So... take you. It's a little hard to balance the thing because it's a little too heavy to hold with one hand, but you can't really balance it on its head without messing up the eagle, you know? And you said you weren't being particularly reverent of it, but you do figure out a way. There's like an overstuffed chair and there's a display case. You can kind of like wedge it between those two where the eagle's kind of like hanging down and then the base is kind of hanging on. So that way you got two free hands. You take out your knife, you go to, what are you going to kind of just like plunge it in toward the center and try to just like chip that section away?
Get less plungy, more carefully kind of tap, tap, tap it at around the edges. I can tell where the hollow piece is at, so I'm trying to create a cap.
Chip that section away, absolutely. As you go to start to do that, Killian, let's go back to you. You called for a lantern. Actually, because of that, let's go downstairs. Fern, Dr. Durandal, you would both hear that call for help. Any of you?
I'm gonna roll my eyes slightly because the doc is preoccupied with his jar still. And I'm like, does he think we just brought our whole survivor packs with us? Because I didn't bring my pack with me, so I don't currently have my lantern with me.
Lantern, now!
Lanterns in my light,
so I might look around real quick and see if there's something around.
Bring a goddamn match for all I care. Get me some light!
There is an old oil lantern, like a hooded lantern, that's hanging near the back door in the kitchen. You saw it when you were in there. It's something that probably somebody used at night, maybe to go to the outhouse or something like that.
Okay. I will go grab it and make sure it's got some oil in it.
It does. As you go back through the kitchen, you don't see anyone at that window. If you were to look, and you don't notice anyone out of the corner of your eye either. The lantern does indeed have oil. Not much, but it's got enough. You know, you rattle it around, you can hear that it's got a little bit in there, and there's a box of like long matches nearby you can use to light it.
Yeah, I'll grab that and go upstairs and be like, "What are you so worked up about?" And hand him the stuff.
Hold on just a second, because as you go to leave the kitchen, this time again, out of the corner of your eye, you know for certain there was someone at that window who was looking in on you.
Okay.
You didn't get a good look at him. But it had to be someone tall because that window is pretty far up off the ground. And they were definitely darkening the window. Do you just breeze on by then?
I'm going to keep moving, but I'll have made note of it. And if he seems taller, I might think back to our friend that Old Reluctant tried chasing after the other night.
Followed.
But otherwise I'm gonna go take him his damn lantern.
Okay. You head up the steps and sure enough Killian is I'm assuming Killian on your hands and knees basically in front of this floorboard.
I'm on one knee.
Okay. Good enough.
<I'm> specific.
I'm not trying to embarrass you, I'm just saying you would be on the ground.
I'm low to the ground. I'm time traveling.
Yeah. Fern, you can see that Killian is he's got an open floorboard in the what looks like the master bedroom, and there is an open space down there. It's dark inside.
Okay, I'm gonna give him a lantern, but I'm also gonna mention, hey, I think someone's wandering around outside trying to see what we're doing.
We'll deal with that in just one second. You hold that lantern down here real quick.
Don't hand it to me. I go ahead and light it so he can actually have a life source and resist the urge to smack him upside the head with it accidentally in the process.
Fern, you also notice as you're lighting that lantern that there is a discarded baby shoe laying on top of the plank that's taken out of the floor. It's an old, worn, shriveled piece of canvas. It's dirty. Looks like it's a bit muddy.
I've seen enough other gross stuff in here. I'm not fazed by it.
Absolutely.
Well, prepare your brain for razzle dazzle.
You lower the lantern down into the hole where Killian has removed that piece of canvas. At the same time, we're flashing back to where it would be cinematically. We're going back and forth between these two things, scene by scene. As you inch that lantern down toward that open floorboard, we're back over. With each inch that it goes down, we're back over to Thatcher, who is chipping away little sections of that open space. Thatcher, right about the time that you make a complete circle and you get to a point where you can take your knife, like you would open up a can, like a tin can, and you can pry it open from there. Fern, the lantern gets down into the hole. You and Killian look down inside. In the floorboard, you see laying on, away from that piece of canvas, laying on what is effectively the ceiling of the first floor, those wooden slats, is a tailored black suit that is folded neatly. Got a white shirt, a crisp white shirt, a black tie. They're all folded neatly, stacked on top of each other. A nice shiny pair of black shoes as well. And then resting on top of that is an upturned black bowler hat. Inside that hat, Killian, you recognize immediately a shiny silver badge of the agency, number 682.
Found his uniform.
Thatcher, at that same time that you pry open that piece of wood, that false piece of wood that had been sanded into place on the base of that eagle, you uncover the source of that rattling. There is a small silver barrel-shaped key, like circular-shaped key, that looks like perhaps it fits into a safe or a lock.
Nice. I am very pleased with myself with this discovery. And I pull it out. I assume I'm curious where old Reluctant's at, and I want to show
him. The moment that you remove the key from that hole.
Ah, shit.
You hear around you. You remember all that sound in the room had kind of just been sucked out, like it was like you were in a vacuum?
Yes.
You start to hear, like, twitching and cracking. It sounds like someone snapping twigs or leaves in the forest, or snapping like twigs or branches in the forest. You look around and you see that the various bits of taxidermy, the various animals that are hanging and mounted and stuff all around the room, if you look long enough, it looks like maybe a elk head twitches slightly to the left.
Okay.
Or that a badger that's hanging on the wall that's just a pelt ripples just a bit. Right in front of you, where you have that upturned base of that eagle, you feel a rush of wind. You look down. The eagle, its wings have moved. Its head turns, twitches bird-like, looks up at you, and lets out a horrible screech.
Oh, what? Oh,
downstairs, no. Downstairs, Dr. Durandal, you're still in the dining room, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm taking a good look at that embalming jar.
Behind you in the parlor, you hear... ding, 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 ding.
Steven,
the player piano
starts
up once again. And then you hear the notes start getting plunked out on the lower end of the register. You hear a thud, clang. Every time that there's a loud thud behind you, it's also like somebody slammed their hands on every key on the piano.
Oh. Definitely want to turn around and take a look, see if there's anything that has changed or is...
Well, there has, because...
you can bet your ass.
Somehow, your brain can't quite comprehend how this is happening. The player piano, the upright piano,
you've seen him?
Is walking toward you. Like you would walk it if you were moving it, like it's shuffling from side to side, and it clanks every time it hits. The lid that comes down over its keys is flapping open as it sees you somehow, like a mouth, and you can see that the ivory keys all have sharpened edges now.
No.
And it is advancing on you.
Oh, that is definitely a time to go for the door and start just yelling.
All
like,
All of this is happening simultaneously. Back in the master bedroom where the two of you have found the suit and the badge, in the distance you begin hearing the player piano. You hear strange animalistic noises from somewhere down the hallway. The suit... Who's holding the suit? Did you guys lift it out, or is it just still in there?
Yeah, no, not yet. But I would imagine.
They're retconning it now.
Yeah, no. Before he hears the noises, I was gonna say it would make sense for Killian to reach in there and grab the suit and pull it out.
Okay, so you have the lantern down. You can see that this is there. From the behind the two of you, all at once, you hear, "Get out."
What the fuck?
You turn and there's no one there. Yeah, Thatcher, go ahead.
If I may ask, does my MacGyver also give me the ability to like dive and roll? Like
MacGyver does too? I don't think that's part of the talent. I don't think that's how that works.
It says MacGyver. I'm just, you know.
He's not MacGruber. He's MacGyver. Yeah, you guys hear that guttural voice, "Get out!" behind you.
I'm pulling out both pistols now, and looking around, it's nothing there, and I'm gonna look over at Fletcher, Madam, what her name is, Thorn,
Fletcher, Madam,
and. I'm just going to, with both guns drawn, big wide eyes, look at her just very casually and just go, "Did you hear that?"
Yeah, fucking heard that.
So the both of you turned and looked away, is what I'm hearing?
Yes. Mm.
Looked behind you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
When you look back, when you turn back, because there's another sort of like shifting or shuffling sound behind you, that suit... is now standing on its own.
Yeah.
The badge is pinned to its whatever chest, but it seems filled by some invisible force. The hat is on top of it. And it comes rushing toward the two of you. And that's where we're going to
call it
for tonight.
No! Oh, I have plans!
You're going to have to wait.
Damn it.
Oh, that was... good.
Yeah,
and you'll have to enact them next week. So that is going to do it for tonight for the latest edition of PZ85 Plays Deadlands, the horror at Headstone Hill. I will tell you all that my plan at this point in time is next week, which is, I think next week is our last session for this month because we are off on the 30th. I will be out of town that Tuesday, though we might be able to record one in advance. We'll talk about it. Next week will likely be the end of Act 1.
Yeah,
our adventure here.
Hell yeah.
Which means that if plans shake out correctly, I've been trying to work on this and GM at the same time. In the month of May, you will get our second one shot of the Modiphius Fallout 2D20 system in celebration of the new game and the new show. So that's the plan right now. We'll have another Fallout one shot coming your way in the near future. But of course, we got some things to wrap up here before that happens, and likely that will happen next week. In the meantime, Shannon, tell them what else we're doing this week.
Well, right now I'm typing into Copilot what we just witnessed to see what AI can bring to life for me. I'm curious to see what
yes, please.
hey, tomorrow we've got an all-new episode of Extras and Epilogues with, you're not going to want to miss this one. I talked Lindsay into dropping... one of her films. No, because every time we complain, the ratings go up. They like to hear us talk about movies we hate. If it's a God movie we love, it's just a circle jerk. Not to give too much away, but we watched Mad God. Phil Tippett's Mad God. 30 years in the making.
I haven't yet. I got to get there.
Just say we were mad for watching it.
I was mad at God for allowing this man to make this film. We'll talk about it tomorrow. On Thursday, it's an all new After Dark.
April.
All new After Dark.
What are we doing Thursday?
We're still figuring it out. No final plans have been made yet. But we'll get back to it. Though she heard you. She heard you.
I'm left out of it this month because I took over Extras and Epilogues.
That's true.
Uh-oh.
Except for this week, I took that over.
Oh.
And then Friday is horse time, yee, and all that. All right, that's it.
And then we're back again. Next week, we will finish up, likely finish up, Act 1 of The Horror at Headstone Hill here on PZ85 Plays. But until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Kaz, and for Steven, I have been your Marshall Double H. Do yourselves a favor and keep those windows closed at night. Good evening, friends.